That's a wok being fired up at Bochi, a Kansas City food truck. As part of a national trend, Kansas City's seen a rise in the number of fancy food trucks. But what does it actually take to make a culinary statement when your kitchen is the size of a small bedroom, your ambiance includes passing traffic, and your decor is mostly asphalt? I'm Gina Kaufman. Today on KCUR's Central Standard, our food critics will recommend the best food trucks in Kansas City. But first, Esther Honig takes us inside the Bochi kitchen. It moves around, like trucks do, but when Esther went, it was in a church parking lot in Overland Park. Xiong Chang races to cook a huge batch of his signature fried rice.
So the difference between us and a restaurant is, you know, I have to cook for several people at a time.
Inside this 1987 Chevy RV that's been converted into a tiny mobile kitchen, Xiong says there are some challenges to using a space like this.
We have one window, a back door, and then we have an exhaust fan that blows out, but we just don't get enough ventilation in here. And I have a wok that gets as hot as 400, 500 degrees.
Xiong runs the Bochi food truck, a red RV slapped with a photo of a giant crispy chicken wing. The kitchen inside is small and narrow, but fits two deep fryers, a fridge, a freezer, and a sink, and of course, a wok. Xiong keeps a simple menu that features his specialty, a stuffed boneless chicken wing.
I didn't invent it, and so it originated in, I believe, Thailand does it, Cambodia does it, Taiwan also does it, and so what I do here is I've kind of familiarized it and made used fried rice. And so I take a fried rice and, you know, garlic, onions, and then stuff it inside a chicken wing.
Xiong removes the bone from each wing by hand.
So what I'm doing now is I'm cutting around the edge of the cartilage here.
He pulls the meat off the bone with a snap.
Chicken wing here, and it's just ready to be stuffed now.
And then it's into the fryer for about 5 minutes. Like many food truck owners, Xiong has no formal chef training. Before this, he worked at a publication company in Taiwan.
The night market scene in Taiwan is amazing. They were pushing out really good food, really stuffed chicken wings, dumplings. What really inspired me was to come back and kind of bring that street food culture and kind of bring it alive here in the U.S., especially here in the Midwest. You don't see much of that.
But the scene for food trucks here has changed in the past 4 years, and Xiong has jumped on board. He spent the last 2 summers running the Bochi truck, selling mostly at public events like First Fridays and the Crossroads, and private parties like corporate lunches and even weddings. In that time, he's learned a few things about this niche in the food industry.
Our food truck customers they're wonderful, except that they're a little less patient than when they're sitting down in a restaurant. And so they want us to serve a lot faster. And so efficiency is kind of our main priority on a truck.
To help with that efficiency, many truck owners like Xiong actually rent space in a commercial kitchen where they can carry out most of their food prep. Xiong also has a few employees to help him, including his mom and dad.
This is my father, Wah Chai Chang. Dad, you want to come say hi?
Hi.
He doesn't say much.
But as a food truck owner, he says you still have to play all the roles, like chef, manager, and marketer.
So if I don't answer the phone calls, then we don't have anywhere to sell. If I don't answer the emails, then we're sitting at home with frozen chicken.
So why are so many people like Xiong taking the plunge into the food industry by opening a food truck? Jeff Lee, food truck owner and co-creator behind Food Truck Mafia, a collective of Kansas City food trucks, says the popularity of food trucks has a lot to do with economics.
A lot of people have the dream and have always had the dream that, hey, I want to be a restaurateur, but have never had the funds or the ability to get a location, to build it, get all the equipment in it, and get the customers and succeed at it.
Food trucks are a lot cheaper to get off the ground, which means owners like Xiong take less of a financial risk. Xiong also has a low overhead, which means he gets to fill a niche in the market by offering high-quality food at a low cost. Back on the Bochi truck, I'm putting that to the test.
Okay, I'm about to take a bite of the famous boneless stuffed Bochi chicken wing. It's good and crispy. Definitely really good. Definitely not your average chicken wing.
That was KCUR's Esther Honig bringing us a taste of the Bochi food truck. I'm Gina Kaufman, and now we're going to hear about lots of great food trucks because KCUR's food critics are here. Charles Frouza of The Pitch, good morning.
Good morning.
And Mary Block, blogging about food at Around the Block. Great to see you.
Hi, Gina.
Jenny Vergara is also with us from Feast Magazine. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Are you guys enjoying having all the food trucks around? Are you enjoying this food truck explosion? And do you think they're these great incubators for new ideas in the culinary world?
Yeah, you know, Chef Howard Hanna of the Rieger had a very famous quote that he said to me years ago, and he said, "We will not be a fantastically interesting food town until we have five-star restaurants mixed with food trucks." And I think he was absolutely spot on. He said this years and years ago, but I'm a big fan of the food trucks. I think they bring a lot to the scene. I think it's a nice way. It is an incubation for a lot of people, but for a lot of people, it's just about, you know, the movie The Chef, right? The open road and food and all of that. So
a little bit romanticized in that aspect.
It is.
But, you know, we heard just now that the idea that Kansas City as an international food city, that it can't really be that without street food, because so much of international food is street food.
Absolutely. And I think if you look at the food trucks around town, they definitely represent food from all over the world. And I think my favorite part about the food truck scene is that it's a real community. The food truck operators support each other. They look out for each other. They've joined together to have websites that highlight their trucks. And they've started doing food truck parks so that they can all gather in one place. And the volume really helps all their businesses.
Charles, what do you think of the food truck craze?
Well, with apologies to Jenny and Mary, because I know you've both been, you know, really great proponents of the food trucks. I'm not a big food truck fan. I'm one of those people that, like the person Esther interviewed, I don't have the patience for it. I really don't want to eat outside. I mean, I don't even like picnics, okay? And I don't want to eat outside. I don't want to get my food from a truck. I grew up, in a semi-blue-collar family, and food trucks were where factory workers got their lunch, and not even a good lunch in those days. And while I admire the creativity of food trucks, I have to sit down and eat, and I have to have somebody serve me. So that's just, that's just my issue.
And I'm with you on the sitting down, but that's why I like the parks, because they're actually starting to have these parks where you have picnic tables and all of that.
Well, I think that lays the groundwork for us to launch into our reviews of the best food trucks in and around Kansas City. I'm Gina Kaufman, and KCUR's Central Standard is back with a food show. Today's topic is food trucks. They're so popular right now, but where do you start? Our critics can help with that. Charles Ferruzza, Mary Block, and Jenny Vergara, welcome back.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Let's start with Jenny's reviews. Jenny, tell me about Jazzy Bee's.
Jazzy Bee, you have to love the owner of the truck almost as much as his food. I mean, it is a show, a dog and pony show in a lot of ways, and he certainly lives up to it. Jazzy does a lot of Louisiana-style food. There's a fantastic kind of drunken shrimp po' boy that he does that's delicious. He does a simple pulled pork sandwich, and he changes his menu pretty frequently, so he's always got something interesting. But long lines for Jazzy Bee, but it's well worth it when you get to the window and get to see his big smile and chat with him.
So you say a simple pulled pork sandwich. Can you give us any more description of that one, or just really straightforward?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically what you would anticipate a kind of a Carolina-style pulled pork sandwich to be, but good quality ingredients. I mean, that's the main thing. You can really tell that this guy puts a lot of love into his food. But yeah, he's just got some really, really excellent, solid choices.
Can I ask, Jenny, do you think that the more things a food truck offers, the less quality it is, or the more complicated it is?
You know, I think that's an interesting question. I think usually what they do is it's about four food items on average most trucks offer, and that's usually a chef-driven truck. I would tell you that two of them are bestsellers, and two of them are probably specials that they're trying.
So that was Jazzy Bee's, where you can get your what? Drunken shrimp po' boy?
Yeah, I would say Louisiana food. If you're kind of thinking that flavor profile sounds good, that's where you need to go.
What about Wilma's?
Wilma's is great. That's Brett Atkinson is the owner of that, and he just actually bought a second truck, so Wilma's is doing quite well. And I would say that he's what I would call more of another chef-driven food truck. I mean, he's one that really doesn't do kind of standard fare. Very creative. He'll even do plated dinners out of his truck if you hire him to do some catered events. So he's much more. He has a more of a fine dining appeal to it.
When you say chef-driven and creative, can you give an example of something you've had there or noticed on the menu that just really makes that case. And
you know, he'll use squirrel meat, he'll use alligator meat. I mean, he kind of steps outside, you know, the hamburger and corn dog and standard taco kind of fare. And he might wrap it in a taco, but maybe the meat is a little creative, or certainly all the sauces are from scratch. So I just think he spends extra time making each component of the meal perfect. I mean, everything's made from scratch. So
if it's a he, why are we calling this place Wilma's? Do we know who Wilma is?
Brett has this whole personality he's built for Wilma. We don't officially know who Wilma is, but he refers to her often on social media as his taskmaster. So I have, you know, and she's kind of got this severe...
Maybe she's the truck.
Severe cat, yes. Wilma is the truck for sure. She's got kind of these severe cat eye glasses and a big beehive on painted on the side of his truck. And you just know that Wilma means business. And I think Brett's kind of created that persona for her.
What about Ahumado Taco Company? And I hope I pronounced that close to correctly. What's the story on that place?
You know, these are two young guys, and they really just wanted to do a business together. They were both kind of floating around the food industry and had different experiences. One dove really deep in some catering, and the other one was more back-of-the-house chef. And so they got together, and it's just like a great buddy movie. These two guys got together, and so Ahumado is smoked meat. So all the meats that it's a taco truck, but it's an upscale, fresh taco truck. All the meats are smoked. They basically make all their own sauces, and they change up. I would call it more of a California-style taco because it's a lot of kind of, you know, fruit included in the taco as well as vegetables, and the sauces have a lot of fruit base to them, so it feels really light and fresh. But they have a dessert that's a grilled pineapple that they sprinkle with their barbecue rub, and then they just put it on their flat top griddle and caramelize it.
My mouth is literally watering right now.
It smells amazing, and it tastes even better. So they've been really surprised at the success of their just simple grilled pineapple for dessert.
So this is Ahumado Taco Company. How about a place with a great name, Pie Hole?
These two guys from Pie Hole are adorable. They're two basically stay-at-home dads that take care of their kids while their wives have awesome marketing corporate jobs. And they basically got together and just decided to try to figure out kind of what they wanted to do in their free time, as if they had any. They both have a brood of kids, just adorable.
Do the kids hang out at the food truck?
No, you know, you always just see the two guys. So I think by the time the wives get home from work, the handoff happens, and then the guys head out with their truck. But they basically have an old kind of lunch-style truck that they've rehabbed. Their truck looks significantly different from the others. It's not like a big trailer. It's literally like a truck with a little lunch wagon on the back. And the marketing is excellent. I mean, who doesn't? Pie Hole is such a hilarious kind of name, and offensive and delightful in all the best ways. But Aussie meat pies are what they specialize in, because one of them happens to be Australian descent. So...
Whoa, okay. Tim on Twitter let us know that he also likes Pie Hole, and you can tweet us to add your recommendation to the mix just like he did. We're at KCURCST. How about Beauty and the Bistro? I see that on your list. I think we've talked about that on our Best Burgers show.
Mm-hmm. She comes up quite often with her burgers, but she's another one who's just, and she's a smart cookie. Like, she's a really good businesswoman, and she has a really pretty truck, so her truck's very distinctive. And of course, she's a really cute girl too. She's very, very fun, outgoing personality. But she does a lot of like salads, soups, sandwiches, and then she has like incredible burgers that change up all the time. She's always changing the toppings kind of depending on what she has. But a really solid, good, delicious, juicy burger, nice and thick. And then the toppings are always really interesting in terms of what she has on there. So,
can you give us an example of an interesting topping?
Oh, she might have like slices of avocado, or she might have, it always kind of tastes fruity to me. There's a sauce sometimes she puts on there that has a little bit of fruit to it, a little sweetness. And it's just, you know, mixes with the kind of juicy meat. And it's just, it's a really good solid bun, nice and soft. It's delicious.
We have just a short time, but maybe a quick synopsis of what you can find at Monk's Roast Beef.
Monk's is a new favorite of mine. It's like the best roast beef sandwich you've ever had. He really slow roasts his roast beef. It's the real thing. It's not a pre-compressed, you know, meat hunk that he's shaving. It's literally roast beef. And he also has a hot pastrami sandwich that it would just will blow your mind. It's so delicious. So there's a little bit of a wait for his truck, but I know it's worth it because it is just a simple, simple roast beef sandwich.
That's Monk's Roast Beef. Thanks for the tips, Jenny. And now we're going to take a quick break from reviewing food trucks so that you can support the station that brings you these shows and makes trying new restaurants so fun and so easy. When we return, we'll hear what Charles Ferruza and Mary Block recommend. Welcome back to KCUR's Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman, and I'm getting really hungry, as usual, on food show days. Today, we're talking about food trucks. In that last segment, we heard about Jenny Vergara's favorite ones. Now we'll get Charles Ferruza and Mary Block's top picks. The list of all their recommendations will be on our website, kcur.org, later today. To get your favorite food truck on that list, tweet us now. We're at KCURCST, and we've just gotten a tip from Michael on Twitter, who says he likes Back Rack Grill all day long. It's a pretty long visit. So, Mary, tell us about Pigwich.
I love Pigwich. It's not your typical food truck because it is stationary. It's part of Alex Pope's The Local Pig, which is in the East Bottoms. And outside of the butcher shop is this stationary food truck. And he has lunch going on every day. And it's real, you know, the quality is fabulous because the meats all come from the butcher shop inside. And he's got about four regular menu items, including an awesome burger and a banh mi and a vegetarian falafel sandwich. But he also has a daily special. So on one day you could get a Reuben, on another day you could get a Cubano. And
Mary, tell us about banh mi's, because maybe not all of our listeners are familiar with those.
Well, his is a little bit unique because he uses pork meatballs. Typically, there's a pate and usually a pork shoulder, but it's sliced. And it's a spicy Vietnamese sandwich on a roll. And it often has, it always has pickled vegetables. I always ask for them to add jalapenos, too, because I like the spice. And then usually a little vinegar or sometimes sriracha. And it's a bestseller.
So Pigwich, and that's down by the local pig in the East Bottoms.
Exactly. And the other nice thing he does is on the weekends, he does a charity sandwich. And he donates a couple dollars off of every, it's a special sandwich. You have to get that one. And he donates a couple dollars to a local charity.
Quickly, before we dive back into these reviews, we have someone on Twitter asking us whether there are any vegetarian food trucks around. Because we are hearing a lot of meaty options.
It's true. I don't know that there are any just vegetarian, but all of them seem to have a vegetarian option.
I think all of them have at least one item that is vegetarian on the menu, specifically for that reason. But an all-vegetarian food truck, I have not.
Charles, tell me about Plantain District.
It's one of my favorites. I mean, you know, considering I don't want food trucks. But I do love Cuban sandwiches. And I stood in line. It's often over near Hospital Hill. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I stood in line for 30 minutes. And I was terrified that they were going to be sold out by the time I got one. But it was great. It was maybe one of the best Cuban sandwiches in the city. And there may be three of those.
What made it so good?
Well, for one thing, it was totally traditional. They had all the traditional things on it. And the bread was really good. And it's a convivial place, and it's always nice to get Cuban food in Kansas City.
And it's as close to the movie chef as you're going to get, because the guy who owns it he's a former chef, sous chef from the American restaurant. So he really knows what he's doing, and he decided this is what he wanted to do. So there he is serving Cubanos out of a food truck.
We should also say that the fried plantains are delicious.
And so he's not someone who is starting his career and trying to incubate here. This is where he's landed.
Exactly.
You mentioned, Charles, that this is the best Cuban sandwich in town.
Well, there are a couple of others.
One of the best.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on that? What makes it so good?
Well, I like the bread. I like the fact that the ham and the roasted pork are really good and really tender. And I like, you know, people tend to make their own, you know, culinary spin on Cuban sandwiches, and I think, you know, that's heresy.
And this is properly proportioned.
Absolutely.
Okay, so hearty reviews for Plantain District food truck. Mary, tell me about Indios Carboncitos. You say it's in a tricked out vending truck. Tricked out like how?
Well, it looks like it was a vending truck, and now it's a food truck, and he's, you know, cooking up there, and it's just kind of a flamboyant kind of truck. And he combines Mexican food with barbecue. He's got a great brisket sandwich that's drowned in a spicy chili sauce. First time I had it, it wasn't spicy enough, and I put something on Twitter about it, and he said, Mary, just ask. You can always have more spice.
So that's good for people to know. If you want more spice, just ask.
Exactly. And he also does barbecue nachos, which are a little unique.
Barbecued nachos. What are those like?
Well, if you picture nachos with, instead of having salsa, they're got barbecue sauce, and it's pretty good. Plowman's barbecue in downtown also does that, but they're not a food truck.
So Indios Carboncitos. Charles, did you want to say something about
that
place?
When you say vending truck, you mean like the old-fashioned vending truck that used to have the prepackaged sandwiches?
Yes, and so the window is open in the same way on the side, and there's a counter there, and you just go right up to it.
Very good.
So Indios Carboncitos. Now I want to talk to Charles about all of the food trucks at state fairs.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I'll tell you, for all of my complaining about food trucks, and I have many, I am one of those people that I have to confess that if I go to a state fair or a county fair or a whatever kind of fair, I will eat everything from those food trucks because, A, the food is bad for you mostly, and, two, it's the kind of food you don't ever see on any of the food trucks we've been talking about. I mean, you know, some people wouldn't consider fried Oreos a delicacy. I do.
Now, funnel cakes are big at state fairs, and there are a lot of trucks that do have
but
the funnel cakes.
But, you know, I mean, I want hot dogs that aren't a foot long. They're 2 feet long. I mean, whatever they're frying up, I'm all for it.
So fried foods, especially at the state fair food trucks, are there local, I mean, either, I guess we have two local state fairs, Missouri and Kansas.
Plus, you know, most of the counties have fairs. I know that Wyandotte County has I ate myself sick at the Wyandotte County Fair a couple years ago.
With what? I don't want you to make us all sick. That's not the idea here. But I'm curious about the specialties, because fried food is at state fairs all over the country. But do we have any specialties around here?
Oh, we probably don't have anything more unique than the fried foods, but sometimes you just have to have a fried Twinkie.
Sometimes you do just have to have a fried Twinkie, Charles. I'm Gina Kaufman, and we still have a little time left for this food truck fest on KCUR's Central Standard. We're getting reviews from Jenny Vergara of Feast Magazine, Charles Ferruza of The Pitch, and Mary Block, who blogs about food at Around the Block. And now, more food trucks, please. Mary, tell me about Prairie Fire Oven.
I love this food truck. It's, again, not a traditional one. There's a trailer behind that he carries and puts wherever he ends up. This is David White, and he's really talented. So he's got this pizza oven on wheels, essentially. And the pizzas are artisan quality, very chewy. He's got seasonal favorites as well as, you know, more traditional ones. He is often in Merriam, Kansas, but he goes elsewhere, and he's available for private parties. And his ingredients are all really top-notch, and he's a great guy.
Pizza is something that you think of as being so out of a kitchen. You know what I mean?
Like,
the idea of pizza coming to you from a truck, and especially high-quality pizza, that is a little bit of a mental shift for me.
Well, I could see that. He does have to be there early to get his oven going, and it's not like you can go run in and get a slice. You have to get a whole pizza, but it's worth it.
So this is a truck that you'd want to go to with, like, some friends.
Well, actually, depends on how much you eat. You could eat a single one by yourself.
Jenny, you recommended that one, too.
Yeah, you know, David's really a nice guy, and the thing is that he's got one of the things that I just love about his pizza, aside from the fact that it's artisan, it's from a wood-fired oven, is that he's got this hot honey that he allows you to kind of squirt or whatever on top of your pizza.
Wait, is hot honey a person?
No. I was thinking that, too, and I thought, that's something new.
It's literally a chili-infused honey that he basically puts kind of on squirt bottles. So, you know, instead of the traditional just Parmesan cheese and red pepper flake, although I'm sure he has that as well. He has this fantastic kind of hot honey that some of the pizzas come with it. Some of it, if you ask, he'll let you kind of drizzle on there. But something about that sweet, you know, it's the bones and the honey just do it for me all day long. So
we're talking about Prairie Fire Oven. And what about, Mary, Cajun Cabin?
Cajun Cabin is one of the original ones. A couple of years ago, I started doing the food truck guide for the Kansas City Star, and the first time around, we maybe had a dozen. Now there are probably over 40.
Amazing.
But he was one of the original ones, and he's still going strong. It's Louisiana fare. He has bowls of jambalaya and gumbo, etouffee, red beans, and there's always hot sauces that you can add to your taste.
Again with the mouthwatering. Man, I'm seriously, it's happened, the point in the show where I'm starving. So tell us, I mean, what is your favorite thing to get there at Cajun Cabin?
I like the gumbo. It's just chock full of all the right ingredients. And as I say, I always add hot sauce to it. It's really good. But you can't go wrong with anything he makes.
Just over the break, you mentioned the Poco's food truck.
Yes. Poco's was a restaurant on the Boulevard, and then it was over on Linwood. But they've always had a food truck, and it's a staple, I think, at construction sites and also concerts. And they do their basic burritos and tacos and even some breakfast items.
Jenny, in addition to the recommendations that you made earlier, you brought up that there are some things coming onto the local food truck scene in the near future that you want to alert us to. What can we look forward to?
Well, Michael Faust, who is the owner of the farmhouse and the chef at the farmhouse, is going to be opening up the Red Wattle food truck in addition to a food truck lot that's going to be on Southwest Boulevard right next to Don's Discount Liquor. And I love that. Don's is one of my favorites. But it was an old car lot, basically, that's going to be hopefully developed into a food truck lot. And that's one of the places that Michael plans to park his truck. And it's going to be whole roasted animals, basically, that he...
Whoa.
Yep. That he's going to cook in the ground, kind of in a very traditional Argentinian style.
So that's like a truck slash pit in the ground.
Pretty much.
And it's called Red Wattle because that's a type of heritage pig, and that's what he's going to have there. So, it again, really top quality. And one of the great things about Michael is that he's very farmer-friendly. So he'll be sourcing all of his ingredients from the local farmers. And again, even though, Charles, you don't like these... food truck parks, he's going to have utilities and even a school bus where people can go when it's cold outside to sit inside.
And Jenny, there's one more up-and-coming food truck you want to recommend.
Yeah, so Natasha from Mulberry Mott, which is a really beautiful, lovely bakery here in town, she has designs to do a bit of a dessert truck. She's really into ice cream right now, concepting a lot of different ice cream flavors. She's always been interested in it, but she's just never introduced it. And so she's hoping this food truck, the name she's given it is Splits and Scoops, which I think is adorable. But she'll use it as a pastry delivery van for some of her deliveries, and then she'll also park it at events and use it as an kind of an ice cream and pastry truck. So
what makes a food truck successful? I mean, what is a quality that these great food trucks that we've recommended today share?
Well, for me personally, I think the key is just, it's almost like a restaurant, really. It's, you have to have a personality that wants to interact with the public. You have to really, really be into what you're doing, and then you have to have phenomenal food.
I think it's all about the quality. I agree, the personality is important. But you know, it could sound good on the menu, but it's got to be really top-notch ingredients.
Me?
Yeah.
I like the food trucks to have or easy access to a bathroom.
Interesting. That is a very practical addendum, Charles.
I'm a Virgo. What do you expect?
So, you guys, how do you follow food trucks so that you know where they're going to be and when they're going to be there?
You have to be on social media.
Yeah.
Twitter will... they should be putting their locations up on Twitter all the time. A lot of them post on Facebook where they'll be for the day as well.
Thanks to all our critics for their food truck reviews. KCUR's food critics are Mary Block, Charles Ferruza, and Jenny Vergara. Thanks to KCUR's Matthew Long Middleton, Jen Chen, Suzanne Hogan, Sylvia Maria Gross, Linda Scher, and intern Kyle Smith. Our theme music, which is not what you're hearing right now, is by Spoonbender Labs. That's a wrap for Central Standard.